Bad, Mother agreed. My sister lived in the big water long ago. She was attacked by sharks. The others of the family tried to drive the sharks away, but we were too late. They killed her.
Sharks are bad,
Baby repeated. Very bad. Be on your guard against them.
But there are no sharks in this water.
Not now, but they could come to this water. And they like to eat nothing better than baby dolphins. The mother was warning Baby about sharks? Corvus asked.
Yes, said Deirdre. I don't think Baby believed her. At least, I didn't feel any sense of fear in Baby.
Doran said. Perhaps you could check the mother's history and see if she had a sister who was attacked by sharks. That could verify Deirdre's contact, couldn't it? Andy grinned brightly. It might at that.
Infirmary. It was 2 days later when Deirdre sat on the medical couch in the infirmary waiting for her daily injection from Dr. Pohan, still wondering about how she might have contracted rabies. Dr. Nordstrom was from Earth, she thought. She worked at Selene, but she could have gone back to visit Earth easily enough. It's only a few hours' flight. Okay, she might have been bitten or scratched by some rabid animal. There's all sorts of wild animals on Earth. 20 billion people, and woods, and grasslands, and every place teeming with bacteria and feral beasts. Earth is like a zoo, a jungle. But then she reasoned, still, if Nordstrom was a microbiologist, wouldn't she have recognized the symptoms of rabies? Especially if she'd been bitten by an animal out in the wild. Wouldn't she have taken the precaution of the proper treatment instead of letting the infection grow in her body until it killed her? Maybe she was so eager to get out to the research station at Jupiter that she ignored the early symptoms. They're not much. Just a rash, according to what the medical files say. Maybe some mood changes, irritability. Maybe that's what made her ignore... The accordion fold door to the treatment cubicle clattered open, and Dr. Pohan stepped in. Deirdre saw that he wasn't smiling.
Good morning, the doctor said flatly.
I'm ready for my injection, said Deirdre, pushing up the sleeve of her blouse.
Dr. Pohan shook his head as he commanded, Computer, display Deirdre Ambrose record.
The screen on the partition beside the couch showed a single rising red curve against a grid of thin yellow lines.
The treatment is not working, said Dr. Pohan. At least, it is not working fast enough.
Deirdre stared at the curve. The virus is growing inside me, she realized, multiplying.
What should we do? She asked, suddenly breathless with anxiety. Tugging at one end of his mustache, the doctor replied curtly,
Freeze you.
Freeze me? Cryonics?
Dr. Pohan raised both his chubby little hands.
No, not cryonics, not liquid nitrogen. We only have to chill you down enough to slow your body functions sufficiently so that the disease will not grow while we're in transit to Jupiter. A matter of some 9 days. That's all.
Will I be conscious?
Shaking his head slightly, the doctor said,
You will be asleep. Your metabolic functions will slow to less than one-third of their normal pace. You will be fed intravenously.
I see, Deirdre said, but she had her doubts about the procedure.
Dr. Pohan put on a reassuring smile.
It will be like taking a long, refreshing nap. When you wake up, you will be aboard Station Gold, where the medical staff has much better facilities for your treatment.
I see, Deirdre said again.
but she still felt terribly unsure about the entire matter.
Hohan slid the door back again. Two white-smocked medical technicians were waiting there, both women, both short, slender Asians.
The whole crew must be Asian, Deirdre thought idly as they wheeled up a gurney and helped her lie down on it.
Andy Corvus was in his quarters, reviewing Deirdre's last session with the Dolphins. Max Yeager was sitting on one of the cluttered room's chairs. He had cleared the junk Corvus had deposited on the chair and simply dumped it on the thickly carpeted floor. "So you can get Dee Dee to narrate what she experienced and play her words alongside the DBS data," Yeager was saying. "That's the best we can do," Corvus said despondently, "unless we can figure out how to visualize these nerve impulses."
"It's better than nothing," Yeager said.
"Not much," Corvus said.
"You've checked about the sister that was killed by sharks?"
Nodding, Corvus said, "They're checking the files back Earthside, but if it happened in the wild, they probably won't have any record of it."
"Well, you've got Dee's narration."
"I don't see how..."
Corvus's pocket phone jingled. Yeager thought the tune it played sounded familiar, but he couldn't place it. Andy flicked the phone open and pointed it at the compartment's wall screen. Deirdre's lovely face appeared. She looked distraught. Without preamble, she said, "Andy, I won't be able to work with the Dolphins today."
"What's wrong?"
"I'm going to be frozen." "Frozen?" Yeager and Corvus yelped together.
"To slow down the rabies," she said. "I'll be kept frozen until we reach Jupiter."
Leaping to his feet, Corvus shouted into the phone, "Don't let them touch you! I'll be right down there!" Then his brows shot toward his scalp, and he asked somewhat sheepishly, "Where are you?" Yeager went with Corvus. The two men hurried down the passageway toward the elevator, grasping the big aluminum crate between them. They put it down on the deck as they waited for the elevator. Once the doors slid open, they saw that Dorn was already in the cab. "What's happening with Deirdre?" he asked as Corvus and Yeager tugged the box into the elevator with them. They swiftly explained.
"I can put her under with the DBS equipment," Corvus said, almost breathless with exertion and excitement. "I don't want them to freeze her if they don't have to."
Dorn thought about it as the elevator rose toward the infirmary's level. "The brain stimulator can put her into a comatose state," he said calmly. "But will it slow her metabolic rate?"
"Huh?"
Corvus blinked.
"No, it won't."
"That's why they want to freeze her, isn't it? To slow her metabolism so the disease doesn't spread inside her body." Yeager looked disgusted. "We didn't think of that."
"We just wanted to save her from being frozen," Corvus muttered.
Dorn shook his head. "Good intentions, but it won't help her." The elevator stopped and the doors slid open. Dorn bent down and lifted the aluminum box in one hand, while his two friends watched glumly. Infirmary. Dr. Pohan was not happy to see the three of them as they burst into the infirmary, Dorn lugging the aluminum box under his prosthetic arm.
"This is a restricted area," he snapped at them. "No visitors allowed."
Before either of the others could reply, Yeager said firmly, "We're friends of your patient and we're not leaving until we see her." Pohan tried to glare at them, but he was too small to be intimidating. The three men towered over him. Yeager could see beads of perspiration break out on the doctor's bald pate.
"Very well," Pohan said, almost in a whisper. "Just for a moment."
The cubicle was small and felt chilly. It smelled of disinfectant and something with a flat, acrid tang to it. Deirdre was lying on what looked to Andy Corvus like a high-tech couch. Three sides of the bed were surrounded by blinking, beeping electronics gear. Off in the corner, a white boxy refrigerator gave off a faint wisp of condensation. Two Asian women in white medical gowns and soft blue masks stood to one side, silent, their dark eyes appraising this trio of interlopers. Deirdre smiled up at them.
"Hi,"
she said groggily. Dr. Pohan half whispered,
"She has already been sedated. She will lose consciousness soon."
Awkwardly bending his lanky frame over Deirdre, Corvus asked,
"How do you feel, Dee?"
"Sleepy."
"Are you all right?" Yeager asked.
"Guess so."
Dorn stepped up, still grasping Corvus's equipment box in his prosthetic arm.